Japan pumps in hundreds of billions of dollars to stabilize its economy after Friday's earthquake.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll look at how the disaster in Japan will affect the global economy. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 74 points at 11,969. The NASDAQ down about 0.5%. The S&P 500 down about 0.6%. Tokyo stocks dropped 6% today. News this morning that Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is buying the chemical company Lubrizol for $9 billion. Lubrizol makes chemicals that are used to operate engines and industrial machinery. Now let's get to the economic effects of the disaster in Japan. The country's central bank today pumped about $200 billion into the economy there. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us now live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Japanese central bank is obviously concerned. Julia, how much of an economic impact do you expect this quake and its aftermath will have around the world?
Well, Japan is the third largest economy in the world, and so a disruption of this magnitude is likely to have ripple effects. I think they're going to be largest for the Asian countries that surround Japan, for whom Japan is a major trading partner. For the U.S., probably a moderate disruptive impact on some of the areas of goods that we trade with Japan is likely in the next few months.
And Julia, I read this morning that there's concern that Japan, which is one of the biggest lenders to the United States, may dump some U.S. bonds to pay for disaster costs. What would that do?
Well, it is likely that both the government of Japan and some of the Japanese insurance companies are going to need to repatriate some of the assets they hold abroad to pay for reconstruction. On the other hand, when we get events like this that provide reminders that the world is a risky place, often U.S. treasuries benefit from their status as a safe haven asset. And in fact, this morning we're seeing that with stocks down and treasuries up.
People like to go to the safety of the dollar when times look a little iffy. Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, the price of oil has plummeted. It's now below $100 a barrel on worries that Japan will use less energy for a while. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Oil traders and dealers have stopped agonizing over the conflict in Libya and the unrest elsewhere in the Arab world. Today, they're focused on Japan. The shattered northeastern region of the country is a major center for car manufacturing. Toyota, Nissan, and Honda have all suspended production. For a big economy that's heavily dependent on manufacturing, that is bound to hit growth. And that, says Nick McGregor of brokers Redmayne Bentley, has hit the global price of crude.
The impact of the tsunami and earthquake on Japan will be to crimp economic growth there. And of course, Japan's about the third biggest importer of oil in the world. Anything that slows the Japanese economy reduces demand for oil.
However, some analysts say this will not last for long. With the shutdown of Japanese nuclear power plants, the country will have to import more oil for electricity generation. And that could send the price soaring again. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By Allianz, managing over $1.7 trillion in assets, providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
The U.S. government has issued another permit for deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. This is the second since the BP oil spill. Meanwhile, those who make their livings off of the Gulf are trying to get compensation from BP. They're still trying. Ken Feinberg oversees the claims process for the $20 billion oil spill relief fund, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're about a month away from the one-year anniversary of the oil spill, and the claims process is still far from over. How many claims right now are still under review?
Under review, there are about 130,000.
Wow.
We started out this phase with about 250,000. We've winnowed down half of them. We've distributed over $3.5 billion to about 170,000 people and individuals in the Gulf.
Are things moving fast enough in your view?
No. We're moving as fast as we can. There's been well-intentioned criticism about pace from the administration and from local politicians in the Gulf. But I do think the program is moving more expeditiously. We have got more people in the Gulf responding to claimants. So I think we're picking up the pace.
All right. Now, you're handling the BP oil spill fund right now, but you also handled the 9/11 victims fund, the Wall Street Compensation Fund after the financial crisis. What would you say prepared you to be the man to go to for these tasks?
When you do these very rare and unique programs of compensation, there's sort of, I guess, a desire to go back to the person who's done it before. I've been asked to do this, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. One problem here that we didn't have in 9/11 is both the volume of claims and the pervasive absence of documentation and proof. And I'm a fiduciary for these funds. I'm trying to get the money out, but I want proof.
What would you say to a business school student who wants to be the next Ken Feinberg?
You can have all the expertise in the world in understanding the issues and the formulas. You have to be a shrink. Emotional anger, frustration comes with the victims of a national tragedy. If you're a business school student, you better be well educated in what divinity school teaches you about human nature and human emotion.
Kenneth Feinberg, the guy that every White House seems to go to when there's big trouble. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And finally, these days you often don't have to think about changing your clocks for daylight saving time because they can change automatically, especially cell phones. But some iPhone customers are complaining that their phones fell back an hour over the weekend instead of springing forward. Can't really blame them, though. If I were an iPhone, I'd probably want to bask in my popularity for another 2 hours as well. In New York, in Los Angeles, rather, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
48 million Americans enjoy bird watching. The Audubon Society is happy about that. Be even happier, though, if they had a little something else.
A younger, more diverse audience to help us create the Audubon of the future.
I'm Kai Rizdal, attracting young birders to the wildlife. Seeing us next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's all from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.